You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Well, good morning. As you saw in the intro video there, we are continuing our building block series. And so we are going to be continuing that all month long. It's February already. It seems to be flying. Yeah, so I guess there's a game or something happening later today, tonight. But I wanted to tell you, I actually shared this with you guys before, but you may or may not know that I was a professional clown. Now, some of you might think that I am continuing as a professional clown, and some of you are like, no, actually, you're the most pathetic clown ever. So somewhere in there, and then there's the scary clown. I don't think I'm the scary clown kind of category, although you should see at the end of a day when I would wear my clown makeup and then I would start to like clean it off, you had to use like, what is it called, cold cream? Is that a thing? You'd like wipe it off because it was all like, and then it was definitely creepy clown kind of stuff. But I was a professional clown, and one of the things that I would do, I worked for Dairy Queen in Delaware, and I would run their party room. And so I would do parties for kids, and we would watch, you know, videos, and I would serve the food. And in the course of the couple hours that I worked there, I would do some magic tricks. And I couldn't find it, and so I kind of had to come up with the second best thing here. But I had this one trick that I did where I would take a pitcher and I would fill it with, you know, with like a liquid, like a juice or something like that. And I would take this pitcher and then I would take a paper bag. And you probably have seen this routine done before. And I would take the pitcher and I would pour the pitcher into the paper bag and then hold it up and it was half full. And then I would take the paper bag and go over one of the little kids' heads. See, I was definitely maybe more on the scary clown side of things than I thought. And I would pop the bag over the little three-year-old's head. And they would cry ferociously, and the rest of the kids would be excited because there was no liquid in there because it was magic. And I was the great, great magic clown. My name was, I think it was Binky. That was my name, Binky the Clown. I actually had a name tag. It said Binky. And I have the gear. So I got paid to run the party room, so I was a professional clown. I could do balloon animals. I learned to juggle for that. I don't think if I can still do that now. But with that magic trick, it was really cool because you got to, you know, you pour it and like, whoa, what happened to the magical juice that disappeared because it wasn't there? And you guys might have been exposed to something like this when you were kids or even now with your own kids. But have you ever seen one of these baby bottles? I've got a couple of them here. I'm not sure what this, if you're watching online, I don't know what that is. Are we at this camera here? Let's go to this camera and see. It looks like orange snot. So I think it might be orange snot because, you know, whatever. But these baby bottles, if you see them, they're I don't know if you can tell, but they're a little older. They're about this full. But if you take them and pour them, the milk and orange snot disappear. And they're empty. And of course, if you ever had one of these, then these are a little bit older. maybe it's not the snot that's orange. Maybe it's the container. But anyway, but it's like, okay, this is empty. And of course, as a little kid, if you have one of these baby doll things, and I may or may not have had one back in the Cabbage Patch rage back in the early 80s, I'm just saying it might have been a thing because everybody was doing it, so why didn't I? And so you have it in the empty. And then here's the crazy thing about these, right? Is that when you turn them back over, they're full again. That they refill themselves. And again, I think a brand new one is probably higher. I don't know. It's been a while since I've used one of these. Anybody? Anybody? Are they usually higher than this? Somebody just nod or yeah, no. Just okay. John says yes. I wonder why they don't work. Okay. So we'll just put them in the bag there. But this whole idea of you pour it out, and once you do that, it would fill itself back up. And, of course, it was amazing magic as a child. It was an amazing magic trick, and I'm not going to spoil the trick of what it worked because, you know, a magician never reveals his secrets and all that stuff. But yeah, it was an amazing thing because you would pour it out, and then you would turn it back over, and it would be full again. And I want to use that concept to help us understand another building block that we're looking at. And this whole series is about the foundations, the basic things, the things, the core things that as Christ followers – we should be doing. And as I said, this entire series long, these are things that if you're brand new to following Jesus, then these are things that you should be doing. And you can learn, like, okay, this is cool. These are important things to be doing. But if you've been following Jesus all your life, these are still good reminders. And I think it's even fair to say that, you know, this is something, well, you know, these are basic things. You've taught these things before. Yeah, well, I'll stop teaching them if you always do them. Fair? And for me too. Like, as soon as I've got these things down, then we can stop teaching it because, good, we've got that one checked. Let's move on to other 3,000 things that we need to work on as we grow in Jesus. But this one I want to talk about today is giving. And giving is this idea that, I'll get to that in a second. Let me just give you the point. But we call these, by the way, spiritual disciplines. And that's the fancy church word for them. And basically what they are things that we need to take the time to work on. And as we discipline ourselves, we grow spiritually. We become more like Jesus. So the point for today is to build your relationship with God, you need to give to Him consistently. To build your relationship with God, you need to give to Him consistently. And so we're talking about giving. And you know, it's important. This is a discipline. And just to be clear, if this is your first exposure to MC3 or to me or to talking about giving, certainly this isn't something we talk about all the time. It's not an issue of you need to give money because you're getting guilt-tripped into it, and as we'll see in a moment, that's exactly the opposite. We talk about giving, and we talk about money, one, because Jesus talked about money more than any other issue except for maybe His own resurrection. That was the number one topic that He talked about. So I think if He talked about it, we can talk about it. The second thing is that the giving isn't about paying my salary. Giving isn't about making sure that the building is heated. To be fair, those things affect my salary and affect the fact that you're not wearing giant heavy coats like we were 10 years ago in here. It also, like, things like the fact that, just get this, right? We might have forgotten about this. But 3 years ago at this time, you probably would have needed an umbrella because the ceiling was dripping because we didn't have enough, the right kind of heat in this room. So just little things. So giving does affect that. But that's not why we talk about it. We talk about it because it's important for us. This giving is important for me to do so that I can grow. Giving is important for you to do so that you can grow because it builds your relationship with God. And so there's a passage here that I honestly, I think I'm going to jump to the first part. I'm going to come back to this passage. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And if you guys could hit the house lights there so I can see everybody's faces. There we go. But let's jump like three slides later to the first build that says poured out. Yep. Yeah, there we go. Because I want to talk about this idea of giving. When we give, when we pour out ourselves, God fills us up. We are just like the magic baby bottle. We are just like the magic pitcher. Because the more we pour out, the more God will fill us. And let me just be very clear here because, you know, especially if you're watching on a TV at home, you're watching a television evangelist, teacher, Bible preacher on TV talking about money. So let's just get this out of the way. There is nothing biblical that says if you give, God will make you rich. There's nothing that says you give $20 and God will make it $40. It's just, read your Bible, it's just not there. But now we do see, and we'll talk about this, that when we give, God fills us and God provides for us. And so I want to kind of maybe look at a slightly different perspective on giving than perhaps we've looked at before. Perhaps you understand this idea of giving so that we grow. Giving so that we become more like Jesus. And so we're going to look at this passage again. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It'll be on the screen if you have the YouVersion app. It's in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to be in verse 6. But there's a few things I want to highlight from this passage. And I just skipped it because we're going to come back to the individual pieces here. The first thing is that we are to give on purpose. We are to give, you and I are to give on purpose. And I want to understand just a little bit of context here. This, the 2 Corinthians is the second letter that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the church in Corinth. And in chapter 8 and the beginning of chapter 9, he just finished talking about the amazing opportunities that people had to give. And what they're giving is done. And they were talking about the churches in Jerusalem and the believers in Macedonia and all these things. And he's saying, giving is such an amazing thing and God is using it in a great way. And so beginning in verse 6, he kind of transitions and says, look, now church in Corinth, and I would say church in Mifflin County, let's look at some things about how giving, what we do, how we respond to giving. And the first thing he says is that we should give on purpose. And in verses 6 to 7, he says this. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now, this is probably fairly basic, you know, agriculture science, agri-science. Not knocking all the people that have degrees in, you know, the periodic table and things like that. But I understand this. If you put more seeds down, you're going to grow more plants. I know that when you grow grass, the more seeds you put down, the more grass grows up. If you don't put much down, you're not going to get much. It's a very basic principle. So that's what Paul is saying here. He then goes on and says, you must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So here I am teaching about giving, and then I just read a passage where Paul says, don't give out of response to pressure or reluctantly. And I would agree. When we give, it's not because you better give. It's not because, do you want the building to fall down? What about the children? The children that need your money. I mean, we could play that Sarah McLachlan song and have the sad dogs in the kennels and be like, give to the dogs. Like, while that works, I mean, get it. Like, I don't even, well, not that I don't like dogs, but I'm not really a dog giver, but I'm like, but I think I should. Like, it's just, but the point is that that's not why we are supposed to give. Paul says that we need to have a plan. Decide in your heart how much you want to give. And don't do it out of guilt. Don't do it out of pressure. The word for pressure, this was written in Greek. And where is it here? The word is anake. A-N-A-N-K-E. That's the Greek word. And the word means to constrict, to squeeze. You might have heard of this snake named after this name, the anaconda. And he says, we shouldn't be giving because someone's squeezing us and pressuring us to do it. He says, we need to decide in our heart and have a plan that I am going to give because of what God wants to do through me, because of what God wants to do in me. And so he says, the first thing is to give on purpose. You must decide in your heart how much to give. And so, as we'll see in a moment, as we wrapped up every week with this series on how do we do that, we're going to kind of come back to this idea of giving on purpose. But it means that it's not a matter of like, I don't know, whatever. Here, I guess, I've got a dollar in my wallet. Okay, good God, I hope you're happy. You know, that was a good fist bump, not an anger. But like, you know, it's like we need a plan. You need to decide in your heart how much you're going to give. What are you going to give? And have a plan because giving is worship. Giving is an act of love and obedience to God. And again, we'll come back to that. So the first thing he says is give on purpose. The second thing he says is God will provide. And I think this is where it gets really, I don't know, sometimes messed up in church circles. Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it swings completely the other way, that you give and God will give you more. Or you know, oh, I can't afford to give, and we get all kind of personal on this. But Paul says, look, God is going to provide. He says, trust me, and we're going to come back to this as well. God says, just trust me, and I am going to provide for you. He says, God will provide. And this is what he goes on to say in verses 8 through the beginning of verse 11. And he says, you know, you scatter your seed, you give more seed, more crops, give what you decide in your heart to give. And he says, and God will generously provide all you need. And that word generously, the root is the word charis, grace. It's something that God is just willing to do more, way more than we ever deserve. He says, if we give and decide, God is going to generously provide all you need. And then you will always have everything you need. And then, okay, let's just stop there first of all. He says he's going to provide all you need. Probably your needs do not include a private jet. I'm just throwing that out there. Probably what you need is not those really cool Teslas that completely drive themselves. You see, they don't even have a steering wheel anymore. They have like a Joy-Con kind of like dealy going on there. But you probably don't need one of those. If you do, God's going to provide what you need. But a lot of times we, especially as Americans, we really mess up what we need versus, you know, what we need. And Paul says, look, you give, trust God. He's going to provide all that you need. And again, we said this before, you're all in here wearing clothing. At home, you may not be. That's your deal. Cool, you know, that's whatever. But you're probably in your home. Maybe you're in your car. I don't know. But you're somewhere where you probably have some things that God has provided for you. And so Paul says, give, and God's going to provide all that you need. And then look at this. He doesn't say, so that, and then he says, and then you'll have plenty left over. He's not saying you'll have plenty left over so that you can get all those things that you really want. He says God's going to be generously provide all you'll need so that you'll have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. And the crazy thing is the more you develop this attitude of giving and the more you give, the more, and I will stay here and say, yes, this is so true, that the more you give, the more God comes through and provides for you and then gives you more and then you can give it away as more and then you can give more away. And it's just, it's this cycle. And I think that's the whole point here when we talk about this, like give God 20 and he'll give you 40. I don't agree with that, but maybe if God's given you 40, it's so that you can give that away to someone else. Like it's like a reverse weird pyramid scheme, you know? Like God's given you more money so that you can keep giving it away. But he says God's going to provide everything you need. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one, going back to this agriculture metaphor, God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. So God provides all of it anyway. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then provide a great harvest of generosity in you. Again, the more you give, God is creating a great harvest in you, not of more stuff, but of generosity so you can give more. He says, yes, you will be enriched in every way. And there's no period there. So that you can always be generous. Like we give, and we're going to come back to some of the reasons for this, but we give and God's going to provide, and God is going to provide even more so that we can continue to give. If we have an attitude in our heart that says, I want to give, I want to meet needs, I want to help, I want to worship God and with my money, your God's going to provide what you need and even more, and then you can give that away too. And I think we've really messed that up where it's like, okay, I'm going to give, and we're going to come back to this as well, I'm going to give the little bit that I have or my leftover or my extra, and then be like, okay, that's good. But what if we didn't do that? What if our heart was giving way more than we have and then watching God come through? And again, as we'll see in a moment, people are going to glorify God because of that. You are going to glorify God and go, wow, I gave and God came back even in a better way. He provided for my needs. So that's the second thing. Give on purpose. God will provide. And then the third thing here is that growth takes place. And again, we're not talking about meeting needs. We're not talking about paying bills. We're talking about our own personal growth. That giving helps us grow just as much as spending time with God daily, just as much as reading God's word regularly, just as much as praying. All of these are important foundations to our growth. Giving is the same. And I think sometimes we kind of put that in a separate category. But these are things that help us grow. And this is what Paul goes on to say. He says, And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So just get this. When you give, God uses your heart attitude of submission and surrender of your stuff, and he uses it to meet needs of other people. And look what happens. When those needs are met, here's the crazy thing. They don't say, oh, thank you so much for giving to what you're giving to my need. Paul says they're going to thank God. And that's the way it's supposed to be. God is going to get the glory from our giving. And we're not going to look at this today, but Jesus talks about, you know, when you have a banquet, don't invite all the rich people. Because when you invite them to your banquet, they're going to feel obligated. They'll pay you back. It's no big deal. He says, invite the people that won't be able to pay you back. Then God will get the glory. So Paul goes on and says, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. So needs will be met because we give, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. God will get glory. God will get honor. And so our giving becomes God getting glorified, which means giving is worship. He says, as a result of your ministry, notice he didn't say obligation. Notice he didn't say duty. He said duty. He didn't say like because you should. He says it's a ministry. They will give glory to God as a result of your ministry. For your generosity to them and to all the believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. So Paul says, look, when we give, growth is going to happen. Growth is going to take place. Growth in our hearts and growth in the lives of other people. And, you know, Kirk. Like, it's not about now. Life isn't about now. Kirk's prayer was like, it's about eternity. It's about lives being changed. And so why are we holding on to this stuff when it's not going to matter? Paul says, give it away, and then they're going to glorify God, and they're going to have hope for eternity. Their lives are going to change because of our giving. Because growth takes place when we give. So, give on purpose. God will provide. Growth takes place. And then finally, and here's the really crazy thing, and I know this is so, I would say, anti-American. That's not a very popular phrase to use right now. But it's so non-American mentality. And that is that giving is a privilege. Giving is a privilege. So Paul says all this stuff about why we need to give, and if you scatter more seed, you're going to have a bigger crop, and trust God, He's going to come through, He's going to give you more than you need so you can give again to even more needs and to help more people, and He's going to grow that, and in that process, people are going to glorify God. And he says all of this stuff, and he ends with this one sentence. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Paul says, he says, step back, like, people, do you realize we get to give? How amazing is that? He sees this as a privilege, as an opportunity that when we give, God's going to come through, and we get to do this. We get to be ones that give, and Paul, we like to thank God for a lot of things. You know, thank you for providing food for me. Thank you for bringing me safely through that catastrophe. Thank you for helping me in this time of need. Thank you for answering my prayers. Paul says, do we thank God that we get to give to people? Because I don't think we do that. We thank God when people give to us. But Paul says, this is an incredible gift. It's too wonderful for words. That the opportunity that we have to give is a privilege. And I think that's so important for us to realize. That giving is something that it's just amazing. Giving is an opportunity. It's not a burden. That's why he says, don't do it with an anaconda around you. He says, give because it's a privilege. Like, this is an opportunity. You have an opportunity to give something away that God has already provided for you, which we'll get to in just a moment. You have the opportunity to do that and watch people's lives change. You have an opportunity to do that. And when those people's lives change, they are glorifying God. And so your giving allows someone else to praise God. That's pretty awesome. And in all of that, you get to watch God come through for you and grow in your relationship with Him. And so it makes sense that Paul's like, this is an amazing gift. What a privilege that we have to give. And I think we need to, again, adjust our mindset because, you know, that's very the opposite of what culture teaches us. That giving is an obligation, a responsibility, it's a good thing to put on your resume, whatever. But Paul says, no, this is a privilege. This is an amazing joy that we have, that we can give to God. So, it's this whole idea of being poured out and yet filled up. Because we give on purpose, and we plan, and we'll get to that in a second. We make a plan for it. God comes through. As we pour out, God fills us up. And as we pour out, God not only fills us up, but He fills up other people. And they get to glorify Him as well. And then in all of that, we get to see, wow, this is some crazy God magic. Like, what an amazing thing that we get to pour something out, and all of a sudden, it gets filled up again. Sometimes we pour it out very slowly. Very slowly. But it's still God will fill us back up. But this idea of it being a privilege, that we're poured out, yet filled up. Because the point for today is that to build your relationship with God, you need to give to Him consistently. You need to give to Him consistently. And if it's not obvious, we're talking about money. We're not talking about serving as much. We're not talking about helping other people, which is important, and we'll cover that in a couple of weeks here. But specifically about our stuff, our resources, our things. And maybe it's money, maybe it's a thing that you own that you give to someone. But that's how we grow. And so what we've been doing again every week is how do we do this? And we did a whole series called Offer. I think it's up in the corner there. And I would encourage you to check that out at mc3church.org/offer. Actually, you just click on Listen to the Point, look for the Offer series. It was a four-week series, just a powerful series on God. Frankly, God used that to make some significant changes in the hearts of many of you, many of us, and did some incredible things through it. But it's definitely a four-week series rather than a one-week talk on giving. But I encourage you to check that out for a much bigger picture, because I'm just going to touch on a few things right now. But I want to look at this idea because we talk about, as Paul said, you know, we think about gift. The gift is what we get. But Paul says that the giving itself is the gift, that is the privilege that we have. The gift is giving. There we go. And so, again, how do we give consistently? What does that look like? What are the ways that we give to God consistently? The first thing, and I've got four things here, a lot of verses, a lot of stuff to cover. Again, the Offer series really covers this in depth. But the first thing is understand it's God's. Understand that it's His. That anything that you give isn't yours. It's something that God has given to you. Something that God has given you so that you can give, so that He can supply your needs, so that you can give even more. But understand that everything that you have is not because you've earned it. It's not because you deserve it. And that's why we looked at that word grace. God will generously give you. We don't deserve what God gives to us. What we deserve is hell. And if you want to learn more about that, you can check out the Burn series. Like, that's what we deserve. But God allows us and gives to us so that we can give to others. But we need to understand that foundation is that it's God. So there's a couple of verses here we're looking at. And I think they fit on the screen now. I had some issues earlier today. In Psalm 50, this actually isn't David. But God is saying, He says, I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so He's talking about actually a response to the people and their offering at the temple, at the tabernacle. And God says, I don't need any of your stuff. It's all mine. He goes on and says, I know every bird on the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. And so God just says, look, I don't need your stuff. I don't need your token little, like, oh, I'm doing this for God, aren't you pleased? God's like, I don't need your stuff. I got it all. It's all mine anyway. And if in an instant I wanted to end your life and take it from you, I could. Because everything is His. And then over in 1 Chronicles 29, this was David getting ready to a prayer as they had a ceremony for the opening of the temple. And King David, this is something. Was it the temple? Maybe it was when God was responding to the temple, because David didn't build it. Anyway, regardless, David's response to this whole situation when people were giving, David says, but who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? David's like, this is King David. King David, like the King of Israel, David. He says, who am I that I can give anything to you, God? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. See, David, the king who had it all, understood that everything that he had was only from God. And it's the same is true for you and me, that everything we have is only His. It's His. And we give. We're not giving our stuff away. We're giving God's stuff where God wants us to give His stuff. Which leads us to the third passage here, which is a summary in Matthew chapter 25. It's called the Parable of the Talents. And this is Jesus telling this story, explaining what the kingdom of heaven is like. And it says this, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. So this person brought together his servant and says, here is my money. He gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. So understand, there's this master brings his servants and says, look, here's my stuff. I've got these bags of silver. So if it was five, two, that's eight bags of silver. He's got eight bags of silver, and he gives one of them five bags, one of them two bags, and one of them one bag, and says, look, this is my stuff. You're in charge. Invest it for me. Take advantage of it. Use it, and so that when I come back, there's something that I can see that you did with my money. And so then later, the passage picks up and says, after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. And the passage goes on, and the one invested it, and he was like, well done, good and faithful servant. The second one invested it, and well done. And the third one said, no, I just hid it, I was afraid. And the master says, you know, get out of here. You wasted what I gave you. And the point being that is a metaphor, an illustration of us. That the king is away for a time right now. But he's going to return. And the stuff that we have is his, that he has loaned to us and wants us to use it for his kingdom. Use it for his benefit, not for ours. Like, that's so huge. It's not for us to have more. It's for us to use for him. And after a time, the king will return. And if you remember when we did the VN series, Jesus is going to return. He's going to sit on what is called the Bema throne, where he's going to be rewarding those of his followers that have used what he has given them for his glory. And so we're accountable. Everything that we have is God's. It's his stuff, and it's been entrusted to us. And you know, I know during the offer series we talked about this a little bit, but this idea, like if you hired a financial advisor, and you gave him, I don't know, $500, and he's like, hey, invest this for me. And you came to them a couple of weeks later, like, hey, how's it going? He's like, oh, I went out to dinner, and I got this new phone. It was awesome. And, well, we didn't get to watch a movie, but we bought a whole new package for our sound system so we could watch stuff at home. It was incredible. The $500 was awesome. Thanks. I mean, there's gratitude there, right? He's like, no. I hired you to invest my money for me. I hired you to use my money for my benefit, not for yours. And that's the case for us. We need to understand. When we give, understand from the beginning, it's God's. You're not giving away your stuff. You're giving God's stuff for God's purposes. So, how do we give to God consistently? First of all, understand it's God's. The second thing here, I say, is expect to grow. I almost kind of included this idea of give selfishly. And maybe that would throw people off a little bit. But when we give, as we already said, this is a building block. If we want to grow in our relationship with God, we need to give consistently. To build our relationship with God, give consistently. And so if we give, we can almost do it, almost, selfishly, in the sense that I'm giving because I want to grow. Let's just be honest here. I mean, if we want to grow, it requires us to eat the right food. If we want to grow the right way, eat the right food, exercise regularly, you know, avoid things that will hurt us in our bodies. Like, there's just a lot of things we need to do that are a lot of work. But if you could just say, hey, I'm going to give you some money and suddenly I'm better. I mean, I know Jenny Craig, is she still around? And Weight Watchers and some of them, they claim that. Give us your money and we'll make you in 5 days a better person. And we're like, yeah, skeptical, whatever, But imagine if you could actually just do that, right? Like, here's $20. Hey, I'm good. I'm healthy. Suddenly, everything changes. We would do that. And when we give, it actually does the same thing for us spiritually. And I know that sounds kind of weird and shallow or selfish, but when we give expecting to grow. Like, you're not just doing this for the sake of the needs. You're doing it because I want to grow in Jesus, so I'm giving. And if we think, let me just say the opposite of this, that if you think you can grow in Jesus and hold tightly to your money and your stuff, you're not going to grow. You cannot grow. You won't grow. So we give expecting to grow. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul writes this to Timothy. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Meaning, don't worry about your stuff. Just be content with what you have. He says, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. The in parentheses there, because everything you have is from God. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And here's the growth point. Here's the negative, if you will, of that. He says, those that want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. That's not a very good description. Trap, temptation, foolish, harmful, ruin, destruction. And yet, as Americans, we're like, sign me up! How can I get more? Where can I get that raise? How can I make more money? What can I sell to get rid of? How can I get more and more and more? And Paul's like, hello. No, this is going to cause all sorts of problems. And he goes on and says this phrase that I think we talked about in the crop series that gets cut off. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And he goes on and says, if you didn't quite get that description, let me add some more to it. He says, some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith. Like, it's one thing to be destruction, temptation, ruin, all that. He says, now you're wandering away from Jesus and have pierced themselves with many griefs. So Paul is saying, if we spend our efforts after holding on to our money, it's going to cause all sorts of problems. But if we give it away, we will grow. We will go the other direction. But if we're trying to hold on to our stuff, if we're trying to get rich, if we're trying to get more, then we're not going to grow. And the reverse is, give it away and you will. This is how Jesus words it over in Matthew chapter 6. He says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Stuff, money, things, where moths and vermin destroy. Dude, okay. We redid the bathrooms upstairs in our 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago. And like, I feel like things are always breaking. Like, it's brand new faucets. And now they're not brand new anymore. And so this past weekend, we, you know, went out to the local home improvement warehouse. And I bought a couple of faucets that had on the outside, just drop and lock, easy install. Yes. I mean, I could do plumbing. I hate it, but I can do it. But I'm like, drop and lock, easy install. I am down with that because our brand new faucets are all rusted and corroded. I don't know what the kids do in their bathroom up there. They must brush their teeth with, like, I don't know, turpentine or something and then spit it on the sink. I don't know. But then it was all corroded. It was dripping like crazy. So it was time to replace it. Drop and lock, easy to go. So I dropped it. Actually, no, I didn't even. It took me like 45 minutes to get the old sink out because it was so corroded. And it's 10 years ago, right? This is not very long. Pulled it out, got the new one, dropped it in, locked it after an hour or so. Easy. And then went to hook it into the wall, accidentally pulled the valve off of the wall, shooting the full pressure of the water line out. It was a shark bite. Yes, I know opinions about that. And now I've learned that that's some of the times what happens. So water shooting everywhere, 5 seconds of water dripping everywhere else around the house. It was great. So anyway, things keep breaking, and I'm tired of it. Like, I'm breaking. I spent that 45 minutes per sink, hour per sink, fixing the faucets. I feel it. Like, I was in ways that I, you know, and all that to say is, Jesus is like, look, our stuff is going to break down. Our stuff is going to wear out. He says, you can have all these things that are going to break down, and then thieves will break in and steal. He says, don't waste your time on that. He says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin will not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So there's a principle in here that if we invest our money and our effort and our energy into things that will last, then we're going to grow because our heart is not in our stuff. Our heart is in the Jesus that we are giving our stuff away for. Do you get that? That if we're holding on to our stuff, we're going to have our treasure tied to those things. And Jesus says, I'm your treasure. Don't hold on to those things. Hold on to me. And so where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. And if we're like, yeah, it's just a thing here, let me give this away so that I can honor Jesus. Then our heart is with Jesus. And our heart is not with our stuff. So two different kind of directions, two different sides of expect to grow. Because we grow when we give. You will grow to be more like Jesus as you give. And the more you give, the more you'll grow. And that's what Paul said over in 2 Corinthians that we looked at the beginning, that he's going to provide more and more and more. So understand it's God's. Expect to grow. The third thing that I already alluded to earlier is make a plan. Make a plan. Paul says you need to give what you've decided in your heart, not like a last minute, like, oh, whatever I've got, okay, that's fine. Because, can I just be honest, like, you don't want someone else's leftovers, and God doesn't want yours. Like, if you said, hey, come over to our house, unless you're like, hey, you know what, we have this huge meal, we got all this leftover food, especially if you have, like, lots of teenagers, like, come over because we need to eat stuff. We need a feasting, you know, swarm to get rid of our food. I get that. But if someone's like, hey, come over for dinner, and you're like, oh, hey, good to have you here. I don't know, maybe you can find something in the fridge. Here's a half-eaten bag of chips. It's a little stale, but you're good. Like, no, we'd be like, what? Why? That's, I mean, okay, whatever, but kind of disrespectful. And that's the same kind of a thing. Like, don't give God our leftovers or whatever's hanging out or whatever we just happen to have there. We need to give God our best. We need to make a plan. So a couple things here. First of all, in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says this. He says, now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. He then says, saving it up so when I come, no collections will have to be made. But he says, you should set aside something. And it's in reflection of your income. It's a percentage. Like, okay, you know, all of you, and I know I'm not a math wizard here, but all of you can give a percentage of what you have. I know that with 100% certainty, because a percentage is always a piece. And we can give. And Paul says, look, just make a plan. He says, first day of every week, set aside the sum. We've talked about it again in the offer series. You know, maybe it's your paycheck. If you get paid every week, set aside a sum, set aside part of it every week. Maybe you get paid every 2 weeks. Maybe it's every month, whatever that is. But have a plan and say, this part is God's. I'm setting this aside for God. I'm giving it to him. And there's a principle here also, the idea of the first week, first day of every week. In the Old Testament, when people would bring their offerings, which was their cattle, their sheep, whatever they had, their livestock, which was their money. That's where money worked. That's, you trade your livestock. And God said, I want you to bring the first fruits, or if it was a crop, bring the first crop that you get. Give me the best, because I deserve the best. And I would say the same thing, that when we give, don't give God our leftovers. Can I just blow your mind, and we're going to come to this in a second even more, but don't pay the bills and then give. Give and then pay your bills. And I know that seems bold and that seems irresponsible fiscally. I don't care, because God is worth so much more than your phone bill, like slash the TV service, if you can't have enough to give God. But give God the first fruits. Give God the best. And the thing about giving God the best is that we are forced to trust him to come through and provide, as he already said in 2 Corinthians, to come through and provide for our needs. And when he comes through, we're going to go, God, wow, you came through. But if we give God the leftover once we can manage it and give him what we've got left, and then there's no need for God to come through because we have planned God out of our budget. We don't need him. And so Paul says, look, set aside something every week. Make a plan. Have a plan to give to God. And then over in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this. He says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they've received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And the whole point here, again, with this idea of making a plan, like, you're not, if you're giving so that everyone sees how amazing you are, you're not giving for the right reasons. We don't want your money. God doesn't want your money. Says, we're going to do this as you plan ahead. Here's what I'm going to give. I'm going to trust God to come through. And it's okay to say, hey, guys, and I mean, Paul already said this. It's like, I gave and then God came through. Praise God. That's awesome. Those are God moments. Share those things. But if you're like, hey, I want everybody to know I've made this great sacrifice and I'm giving it to the church, we've missed it. It's not about that. It's about making a plan and say, I'm giving this, as Paul said earlier in 2 Corinthians, what you've decided in your heart to give. Give that amount. So we need to go a little bit faster, but plan for regular giving, a percentage, whatever that looks like. Start somewhere. Maybe increase that percentage. Maybe that's where you are now. Like, yeah, I've been committed, but I've really just kind of gotten by with whatever's left over. Maybe we increase that so we really have to step out and trust God. Which leads us to the fourth point of this, is that stretch your faith. Stretch your faith. Give to a point where if you don't, I have a quote on my wall. I want to be the kind of person that depends on God so much that if God doesn't come through, I'm screwed. Like, give to that kind of point. That God is the only source that you have. God is the only help that you have. God is the only resource that you've got. So stretch your faith. In Mark chapter 12, and I'll just kind of summarize this. I can't read it. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, Hey, come here. I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus. We already talked about this. They gave what was left over. And it might have been thousands of dollars left over. But it was their leftover. It was their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. So here's a woman that says, I want to give everything I've got because I trust God that much. And Jesus commended her for that. So maybe your giving needs to stretch your faith. Maybe you need faith. Maybe you need to give more than you can afford to give. Because a lot of times when we can afford it, it's us deciding how much God can provide. Maybe you need to give more than that. And in Malachi chapter 3, and we definitely talked about this passage back in the offer series. This is God talking. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, meaning bring the 10%. That was the requirement for the Old Testament people in terms of worship. Bring the tenth of what you have to God, that there will be food in my house. So God says, test me in this. He says, bring 10%, even though it might not even make sense. But test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God says, look, God's speaking directly to his people, saying, test me. You think you can give more than I can provide? Go for it. I dare you. I triple dog dare you. God says, give and watch me, because I'm going to blow you away with how much I can provide for you if you just trust me that much. And again, we're so caught into of what our stuff is. And I can tell you stories. You can tell you stories about how we've stretched ourselves. And God has come through in amazing ways. And maybe that's the step for you. Maybe your growth isn't about you just giving. Maybe it's about you stretching yourself as a family to give God more. Maybe that's how you grow. So how do we give to God consistently? Understand that it's God's. Expect to grow. Know that doing this is going to help you grow. Make a plan. Come up with a plan, whatever that looks like, and stretch your faith. Maybe your plan needs to be beyond what you can manage so that in doing that, God shows up in a big way. And God, this isn't me saying this. This is God saying this. Test me. Try it. I dare you. Because to build your relationship with God, you need to give to Him consistently. No giving, no growth. And again, I know it's like, well, of course you're saying that. You want to have a nicer, blah, 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 blah. Let me just say this. I am excited about the spring. And you're going to hear more about this thing we're calling Spring Back over the next few weeks. And I'm just excited about what God's doing. And I know that if, as we continue to give, as we stretch ourselves, as my family stretches ourselves, we're going to see God come through in some incredible ways. But if we don't give, like, this isn't an issue of me paying my bills. This is an issue of saying we need to trust God with our stuff and grow in the way we give. So this whole series, we've been looking at these foundation things, and I know I'm over. To build your relationship with God, you need to spend time with Him daily. That was the first week. All these are available at mc3church.org. Click on Listen to the Point. Spend time with Him daily. The second week, we looked at how we need to read His Word intentionally. We're building these blocks. We need to talk to Him constantly in prayer, 2 weeks ago, we talked about worshiping Him privately. And then today, we're talking about giving to Him consistently. And we've got these blocks back there. And I know some of you guys have been doing these in your prime groups as well. I know the prime group leaders have them and filling that. But the whole point is this: as we grow, as you grow individually, as I grow in my relationship with Jesus, we grow as a church. And we're starting to see that wall get built up because of each of the building blocks that we're a part of, that we put in there. So I ask you, for any of these topics, or for this coming week, just for this week, I would say, you know, not give every 4 out of 7 days, but maybe this week, you, and I'm not just talking about adults, I'm talking about all of you, come up with a plan. Say, I'm going to give to God consistently. And if your family does that or you do that, take one of these blocks, you're going to write the point for that week on it, sign your name, and then continue to add to the wall so that we grow together. And if you don't, you know, if you miss one of the weeks, you can always get another one and come back to those weeks as well. But the whole point is for us to grow as a church, to grow as a body. As we grow individually, we will grow together. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. God, I thank you for what we have. Thank you for the things that you have given to us that we do not deserve. That we have food and clothing and we can be content with that. Forgive us when we're not. And God, I just pray for our hearts, for our attitude towards giving. And I think it's something culturally that's really hard. But I pray that we would step out and trust you, and that we would give to you consistently, maybe beyond what we can quote unquote afford. And we would watch you show up in a big way. Help us to give to you consistently and to see you do great things. And in doing that, we grow to become more and more and more like Jesus. God, thank you that this world isn't it. That this isn't the end. That we have eternity to look forward to. And I pray that we are investing in the things that matter, not the junk here on earth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.